There's a common experience we all deal with, grief. Grief is a natural and appropriate response to loss. However, we can't let it consume us. If grief keeps us from focusing on the future, it can be debilitating. David experienced that. But with Joab's help, he realized what was happening and directed his thoughts and efforts toward others, as he reestablished his kingship. This lesson is called Good Grief and Bad.
You've probably discovered in your life by now that experiencing grief is unavoidable. One author wrote that you simply cannot live without experiencing grief in 1,000 different ways. Perhaps you've experienced the loss of a loved one. You're discovering what it means to be ambushed by grief. In other words, there are times when it just comes out of nowhere, when you least expect it. There's nothing wrong with experiencing the feelings of grief. In fact, Solomon wrote in Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 4 that there is a time to mourn. There's a time to weep and to grieve, and then to put the pieces of your heart and life back together with the Lord's help. This is what we would call good grief. You're moving forward as you continue trusting in the wisdom of God. I want to show you today an example of bad grief. That is, it doesn't move forward like it should. David's traitorous son Absalom tried to overthrow David's kingdom and seize that throne. In our last wisdom journey in 2 Samuel chapter 18, we saw that Absalom ends up dying in the attempt. And with that tragic loss of his son, David slips into grieving in an unhealthy manner. Here in chapter 19, now we're told in verse 2 that the victory that day was turned into mourning for all the people, for the people heard that day the king is grieving for his son. This tells us that grief happens to be contagious. The people had just experienced a great victory, but now their joy is turned to sorrow or mourning. Verse 3 says that they stole into the city that day as people steal in who are ashamed when they flee in battle. See, a big part of this was because David didn't give them any word of appreciation or commendation for their loyalty or their courage. He's consumed with his own personal grief, so he isolates himself from everybody else. And here in verse 4, we read, "The king covered his face and cried with a loud voice, 'Oh, my son Absalom, oh, Absalom, my son, my son.'" Now, we would expect these bitter tears of grief. But the problem is David refuses to see anybody. He refuses to listen to anybody. He pulls away from everyone who cares about him. So don't misunderstand. There's nothing wrong with wanting to be alone at certain points in your grief. That's a natural stage in grieving. Just don't stay there. God never intended you to become a hermit physically or emotionally. In fact, God's solution, his therapy, so to speak, is for those who are grieving to stay involved in the lives of other people. Now, what makes David's grief so crippling to him is that it's combined with guilt. See, in the last few years of Absalom's life, David had been very disappointed in Absalom, but instead of dealing with the issue, David refused to meet with his son, in fact, for 5 full years. And even when David allowed Absalom back into the city of Jerusalem, he wouldn't allow Absalom back into his own home. So deep resentment had developed, and David knew it was his fault. So David is grieving not just the death of his son, but his own failure as a father. Well, now, General Joab is going to take it upon himself to confront David. He points out here that David is overlooking other people as well as, well, God's blessing. And Joab says to him here in verse 5, "You have today covered with shame the faces of all your servants who have this day saved your life and the lives of your sons and your daughters." You know, it's true. When we become consumed with our loss and our grief, You know, we could all use somebody like Joab who comes along to challenge us and remind us of what God has done for us and what God has given to us. So Joab challenges David here in verse 7. Arise, go out and speak kindly to your people. In other words, you might not feel like it, but you need to go out and congratulate your troops. You need to thank all the people who risked their lives to follow you. Well, fortunately, David follows Joab's advice, and here in verse 8, we're told, all the people came before the king. That is, they are finally reunited with David at last. Let's learn something here from this account. Let's learn that grief is a God-given way to respond to loss. But let's also be reminded there's good grief and there's bad grief. Good grief refuses the temptation to isolate yourself from people and hide from the future and overlook what God has done in your life. Good grief gets around to refocusing on all of that and to go on with living. That's exactly what David does here now as he begins to lead his divided nation back together. Now, reunifying the nation is going to require that David forgives a lot of people who sided with Absalom. Rather than seek revenge, now here in verse 12, David urges the leaders of Judah to join the rest of the people in bringing him back to Jerusalem. He even forgives Amasa, Absalom's general. And here in verse 13, he replaces Joab as commander of the army with Amasa. Now, that might seem strange, but David is demoting Joab. Why? For disobeying his direct order to keep his son Absalom alive. You might remember that Joab personally killed Absalom. Perhaps David's most gracious moment takes place now as he crosses back over the Jordan River. He's coming back to Jerusalem, and he's met by Shimei, the man who'd come out earlier, you remember, and cursed David, and he'd thrown stones at him as David was fleeing from Jerusalem for his life. Well, here comes Shimei now. He's asking forgiveness, and he says to David here in verse 19, let not my Lord hold me guilty or remember how your servant did wrong on the day my Lord the king left Jerusalem, for I know that I've sinned. Well, did he ever? Even though David is counseled to put Shimei to death, he graciously allows him to live. Then here in verse 17, Ziba rushes out to the Jordan to affirm his allegiance to David. He wanted to get there ahead of Mephibosheth, no doubt. Remember that as David was fleeing earlier from Jerusalem, Ziba had come out there and told David that Mephibosheth had sided with Absalom, the traitor. Well, that was a lie. Ziba just wanted to get all that property back that David had given over to Mephibosheth. Well, Mephibosheth then rides out to David to tell his side of the story here in verse 27. Ziba has slandered your servant to my lord the king, but my lord the king is like the angel of God. Do therefore what seems good to you. Well, what David does is gracious to both men. He divides the land between Ziba and Mephibosheth. And I got to tell you that this decision probably comes from the fact that he isn't able to determine which man is telling the truth. So he wisely divides the land between them. Well, another man who welcomes David back to his throne is Barzillai. Here's that faithful warrior that had provided David and his men with food and supplies while they were hiding out in Gilead, east of the Jordan. And David invites him here in verse 33, come over with me and I will provide for you with me in Jerusalem. But Barzillai turns down this gracious offer. He's frankly too old and he's really not interested in moving to Jerusalem. David's reactions, by the way, to these various people as he returns to his throne in Jerusalem demonstrates a godly spirit of generosity and forgiveness. He's still grieving, by the way. That's never entirely going to go away. But he's now refocusing on serving other people as well as the Lord. Now, not everybody's happy with how things are turning out here. Chapter 19 is going to end up with the northern tribes getting upset with the southern tribes because they think David is preferring them. They're like a bunch of squabbling children trying to get first in line. And I need to tell you that this squabbling is going to set the stage for more problems yet to come. That's going to have to wait until next time. Until our next wisdom journey together, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
I hope this time in God's Word has been encouraging to you today. Stephen Davey called this lesson, Good Grief and Bad. The Wisdom Journey is taking you through the entire Bible with a new lesson each weekday. Visit our website today for a free excerpt from Stephen's book called I Pledge Allegiance. Stephen explores the implications of being citizens of heaven and citizens of our country. Visit wisdomonline.org today for your free resource. Then join us next time for the Wisdom Journey.